Hey, what's going on, everybody? You're listening to Seggy Station. It's the man that has a nickname, always allowed to say with no shame. It's Wednesday, October 7th, 2020. Hope all is well out there with everybody. Hope everyone's staying safe. Nick Seglian here. You're listening to Seggy Station Podcast. I got some company with me today as well. A combination of Riches, I believe. Rich Hot Takes Letty and my man Raj out on the West Coast, giving me a little East to West Coast exchange today. Looking forward to catching up with a couple of the boys, as there's a lot to get to in the world of sports, man. It sucks for me. I've had so much going on at work. Haven't been able to do my pod as much. It's been definitely taking a back burner. And with everything going on in the world of sports, daily news breaking almost hourly, sports happening daily, all over platforms of four major sports, it's tough to keep up with. And back when I was doing this every day in the furlough with no sports going on, I really would have liked to have been doing that now, as sports are absolutely popping off. There's a ton to get to in the world of sports today, and I'm looking forward to doing it with a couple of my buddies. Right now, it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Seggy Straight Talk Microphone. It's always direct. Time to reflect. About to bring Rich in here. He's in the stream. Looking forward to catching up with my man Rich. I haven't talked to him in a minute, so glad he's doing well. As always, going to give a quick plug for the podcast. You can check out and follow the podcast, anything going on with the podcast, on my Instagram page, at Seggy Station. You can also listen and watch the podcast on my Twitch stream. It's _Seggy_G. Look forward to getting to a ton in the world of sports today. Rich is here. Look forward to linking up with Rich. What's good, kid?
Yo, what is good?
I have not heard or seen you on the sticks, talk to you in the podcast, because I haven't been podding at all for at least a week.
Yep.
It's been wild with everything going on in sports, and I'm glad you're doing all right. What's good, man?
Not much, man. I've been watching a lot of sports. Nothing now tonight, so I'll definitely be on tonight, but watch a lot of football. Crushed NFL DraftKings this Sunday. Had one of my better weeks or probably my best week ever there. So been doing watching a lot of NFL, NBA. Excited to get into it.
Happy for you. I haven't been doing as well on DraftKings. Let me just say this real quick off the jump before we're getting into any actual sports. Fantasy football, I have a fucking huge grudge going on right now. I don't know how I lose. Always going up against Billy McPhee. And, of course, he scores 155 fucking points. And I nearly won and had a fucking guy on my bench with 20 that I should have had in, somebody he wanted to draft. I literally hate fantasy football. I might just be done playing. It's the fucking worst, dude. I really hate it.
Well, we'll talk after this. I really do need to make a trade, so we can look at something that benefits both of us.
Which is bullshit, because the last time I did talk to you, I think, was that night, which is at least 4 or 5 days ago, where I'm like, yo, let's make a trade, and you're like, not there. I'm like, yo, let's make a trade, and then you never came back, and I was off the stick sleeping. Whatever.
So I had...
Did you win? Did you win this week up against you?
No, I didn't. I had the opposite week as you. I had no business winning. I had already chalked it up to a loss, because I had Derrick Henry, Juju, Mostert all out. Had already chalked it up to a loss and ended up only losing by 2 points to him because Julio and Matt Ryan and everyone didn't do well for him. I easily could have had that win. I'm kind of pissed about it.
You know, I'm pissed. Take a look at my matchup and see what happened. I'm the one that should be pissed. It's absolutely Billy McPhee's laughing right now and absolutely crying inside. You know, the best thing we probably could do is start with the NBA, but I do want to kind of lead into this with the NFL before we get into the NBA, and I'll set a timer so that we don't get off topic and make it back to the NBA, because I do want to talk about, obviously, stuff in there. Raj is hopefully going to make it in here at some point too, so we'll see how that goes. I'm looking forward to linking up with Raj and at least catching a little chat with him. Anyways, the whole thing with you, having Derrick Henry, having Juju out. We all know what's happened with the Tennessee Titans. 22 players now have tested positive for this virus. Cam Newton tests positive. There was a false positive for the Saints. There's up in the air jeopardy for those games that are scheduled up against with those teams this up and coming week. Titans and now the Patriots, because Stephon Gilmore has tested positive. And I do want to say this, Rich. Cam Newton tests positive. I don't know what exactly day it was. It was at least 3 days ago. It was before the Sunday games. He was announced that he wasn't going to play, and they were announced to move the game potentially to Tuesday, I thought, but they played it on Monday night. Now, here's my problem, and I heard Clinton Yates talking about this. The whole thing with if a player tests positive or if somebody tests positive and you're around somebody like that, shouldn't you be away from those people a little while longer than just a couple days? And now you have another Patriots player test positive. And I think the NFL is basically saying they don't care about health and safety here. They care about having a big-time matchup, marquee, Monday night game on for the NFL fans to watch, with fans in the stands at some of these games, by the way, which I think is absolutely and utterly ridiculous. So here's the NFL. Now, Tennessee has a problem. Absolute outbreak in Tennessee. I think the Patriots are going to have a problem. I think you're going to have other teams with a problem with now a couple other spikes. We saw what happened with the Raiders and them having an outing or event and all their players were there with no mask. And now they have potentially a couple players testing positive. This is going to spark up in the NFL the way they're doing this. I think there's no doubt about it, dude. And you took the benefit of it in fantasy football this past week. I think I'm, or one of us, or any of us, all of us are going to take it at some point because I don't think this is going to stop. I think the NFL isn't doing enough to really contract all the health and safety by just throwing in a game when 2 days after a dude tests positive on the team. It doesn't seem smart. And they're saying that it doesn't cross the line of scrimmage because the Minnesota Vikings, none of those players, all their tests came back negative. That's a load of shit, man. And if they did come back positive, say, a couple days from now, are they going to go back and say, oh, it was from that game? Or are they going to say they tested positive on their own? I think the NFL has a problem, dude. And I'd be stunned. I heard Max Kellerman talking about it a little bit before we come on the podcast. I'd be stunned if they get through all the way through the season. They're talking about a contingency plan to add a Week 18. Yeah, you're going to need that. You're going to need that if you're going to be postponing games on the regular, which it seems like it's going to be over the next couple weeks at least.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, the only benefit they have, I'm sure there are reasons they don't want to do this, just, I don't know, scheduling and logistics. But one of the only benefits they have, or the main benefits they have to all the other sports leagues, is they started on time. They're not, like, trying to rush to make up stuff already. They're going to be doing that, like you said. But I wouldn't be surprised if a few more teams get this. Because, like, if it's five teams, if five teams have players with the virus, that's not just five teams not playing. That's potentially 10 games not happening because they're playing teams. So, like, so many games are going to get pushed back. I wouldn't be surprised if they just pause the season for 2 weeks. I don't think that would be the worst idea in the world. Like, rather than trying to, like, oh, let's make up this here and do this at this time, like, why not just put everything on pause for 2 weeks? You started on time. You have the benefit of being able to be, like, obviously, it's not ideal. Everyone wants to have the Super Bowl around the same time it always is. But what's the big deal if the Super Bowl is the first week of March?
Rich, I agree with you. And I completely agree with you. But my question to you is, what's going to change? It's only going to get worse. And in my opinion, what they're doing right now clearly isn't working. So if you take 2 weeks off and whatever, everyone comes back negative again, there's still going to be positives again at some point.
So
they're not doing anything right.
You're right. To clarify my point, I was more going along the lines of, and I guess I didn't say this, but it seems like it's only a few teams. So it's possible that you got unlucky. But to me, if some teams have multiple people testing positive and a large percentage of teams are totally fine, it seems like some teams were doing some dumb shit. Maybe they got unlucky and were in the wrong area, wrong place, wrong time. That's very possible. Yep. That sucks if they were. But it seems like a lot of teams weren't doing what they were supposed to be doing. In which case, if you put the season on pause, hopefully you're able to put some more measures in place to where teams are doing that going forward.
Nah, I agree with you there because the Titans definitely did. Mike Vrabel, and I go back to the virtual draft, you see that dude, the frat-looking dude, taking a dump in the background. Like, that dude definitely had dumb shit going on in the Titans organization for them to have a breakout of 22 players testing positive, maybe more. The Titans aren't playing this week either. There's going to be a problem with the Tennessee Titans for sure, at least a couple weeks for them. And now, Patriots had to cancel practice today. No, I'm serious. Patriots had to cancel practice today because Stephon Gilmore test positive. Cam Newton already test positive. I think the Patriots are not going to play this week either. So now you got two teams already up against whoever they're going to face this week. I could tell you right now, Buffalo is going up against Tennessee. They're 4-0. They're going to have a bye on a hot streak. I mean, this is messing things up, dude, for teams that are in contention.
That's serious shit if I don't have Derrick Henry again.
God, I'm serious, bro. I'm telling you right now, it's not going to happen. You just had two players test positive today for the Tennessee Titans. They have an issue. And the NFL isn't doing anything about it besides pushing out games with Stephon Gilmore, who just tested positive and just played in a game 2 days ago, up against the Kansas City Chiefs. Pat Mahomes talking with some of these players that were in contact with him. Like, that is not good. And that's what the NFL is dealing with right now because they want to put games on. And the way they're putting games on is with fans in the stands and not enough protocols in place with people having their masks down, all this bullshit. Yeah, they're fining some of them. That's not doing anything. That's not doing anything. If they're not wearing their mask, get them off the sidelines. Something, dude. It's getting to the point where the NFL isn't doing it right, and they had the longest amount of time into all of this to get it right, and they're not. They're getting it completely wrong, and I'm stunned that they're handling it this way. There's a lot I would like to get into in the NFL after this. We'll get into in the NBA. That's definitely getting me hot.
I've said it a few times, and it's not just out of bias or watching the NBA more, but the NBA is the much, and most people agree, it's not a hot take, but NBA is the much better run organization, and you can see why right now.
Yeah,
they didn't have a single test, had a good plan in place, got through a whole offseason.
They're also in a bubble. They're doing a lot of things different, and I completely agree, though. They're doing it smart. They're doing it a lot smarter. Absolutely. The NFL can completely have no fans in any stadiums, but they're allowing some of that for money purposes and all the shit they have going on with that. It's a joke. It's stupid, and it sets you up to have something like this happen, in my opinion. Anyways, I'll cover more of the NFL in a little bit. I do want to cover some of the NBA, and you led into it pretty well, so we'll go into it then. Well, where do I begin? Because we didn't cover any of the series besides before it started, and the Lakers were up 2-0. Bam and Dragic, they went down. They were hurt, knocked out of Game 2 and Game 3. Bam came back last night, but he ran. I was saying he was at least 70%. Probably shouldn't even have been playing, and hadn't played in two games, hopping into a finals game. Yeah, you're a little gassed. So you were talking about how he was a little slow on D. Yeah, he didn't look great, but I think he contributed enough, wasn't enough, and the Lakers go up 3-1 in the series. 102-96 final last night. You know, the Heat win Game 3 on Jimmy Butler's literally historic Game 3 of the NBA Finals, where he had a 40-point triple-double. He was the first player ever to outscore, out-rebound, out-assist LeBron James in an NBA Finals game, including his teammates, ever. Elias Sports with that stat.
That is a testament to LeBron James, too, though.
It is, and I do want to say, a testament to LeBron James last night's game. Because heading into halftime, I had the Heat tying up that series. I have this series going to 7, Lakers taking it in 7. Not anymore, but here's the thing. If they had tied the series last night, it was looking real good, in my opinion, to go to 7. And the second half of that game, LeBron took over. LeBron James, let me give you a couple stats on LeBron James. LeBron James in this finals is averaging 28 points, 11 rebounds, 9 assists on 53% from the field. He now has 24 career, 25 and 10 games in the finals. That passes Elgin Baylor for the most in NBA Finals history. The Lakers are 56-0 this season when leading after the third quarter. That's the best in NBA history. The 2018 Cavs, when LeBron was back on the Cavs, were the fourth best in NBA history in that regard, leading after the third quarter with a 50-1 record, meaning that LeBron's last two full seasons of play, because we all remember he got hurt last year and the Lakers missed the postseason, which I mind you, it's the first time two teams have made it to the finals that had missed the postseason the prior year. Lakers and the Heat had done so. LeBron and his teams are a possible 106-1 in the past two seasons that he played full when leading after three quarters. And LeBron James's game last night, after what he was doing in the first half, 5 turnovers, not looking good. First quarter, 3 points. Heat looking pretty decent. Even with Bam being back in there, trying to piece him back in. Jimmy Butler started 5 of 5, having a really good first half. He went super cold in the second half. The Heat went super cold in the second half. LeBron James took over the game, man. And the Lakers took control of this series. And I'm not saying I'm stunned that the Lakers are going to win this, because this is what I saw was what the second biggest would be, the second biggest upset in NBA history if the Heat happened to win this NBA Finals. Out of LeBron's 10 Finals appearances, he's favored highest in this one to win. It's by far, in everyone's opinion, the Heat are the biggest underdogs that could have made it here. No one expected them to be here, apparently besides me. And I've been hearing a lot of people talking about, oh, no one expected the Heat will be here. Well, hey, man, I've been saying it for a couple months. I'm not trying to say I got any mouth or clout or whatever the fuck you call it, but you could at least listen to me. I said that they're going to make it there and represent the East. And I think the Heat are a really great team. I think Eric Spoelstra is a phenomenal coach. I think Jimmy Butler gets slept on all the time. I think Bam Adebayo is an elite NBA player. And Tyler Hero coming into his own, some of these guys around him. A lot of these people slept on this team, but it's too much going up against LeBron and Anthony Davis. And LeBron showed you in the second half last night. I think LeBron's going to be the MVP of this finals. And I'd ask you who you think the MVP is going to be and kind of just discuss how the series has gone so far.
That's tough. I've seen a lot of stuff online indicating that, like, LeBron's probably fine with Anthony Davis getting it, because it's not a – I mean, a lot of people think of it as a foregone conclusion, but Anthony Davis could leave this summer if he wants to. I think most people expect him to come back, But if you're LeBron James, you're considered the best in the world. I don't think he'd mind Anthony Davis getting the finals MVP. But I don't – it's tough. It's tough. I'd probably lean Anthony Davis, but the series isn't over.
Anthony Davis with his 15 points in game three.
He had one terrible game when he was in foul trouble game three, yeah. The only reason I'd lean Anthony Davis is because of how good he's been on defense for him regardless. Game three was rough. But I'm saying I could be pushed to either side depending on what happens next game, whoever has a better game. And I think that's what it's going to come down to. There's always the finals MVP always comes down to a little bit of recency bias and like what happens in the last two games, because that's when people are voting. So I would say whoever has the bigger closeout game or the bigger next two games, if maybe the Lakers don't win next game, is probably who the finals MVP is. I'm not taking a hard stand on either side right now, honestly. LeBron had a tough first half last game, but he ended up playing like a pretty good, I don't know if it was all second half or fourth quarter. Anthony Davis had a really bad game three, so they both played well in the first two. I think it's close. What I would say about the game last night is I thought Kelly Olynyk should have gotten a little more run without Bam. They were playing him with Bam a little bit. Kelly Olynyk only got 12
Hold
minutes.
Hold on. Let me say one thing about that, because okay. – I saw you talking about that. I thought Bam played pretty well, like I mentioned, coming off of not playing and having what could still be a pretty serious injury. I don't think he's 100%. Kendrick Nunn, I think he got a little too much run last night. He was taking some shots that he normally wouldn't get, and I think there was a little bit of Spoelstra trying to piece together a rotation with now putting him in there because of having Bam back rather than Olynyk. I would have liked to see both of them maybe on the floor at the same time, stretch the floor big man style, rather than Kendrick Nunn, who was kind of missing some shots, taking some bad shots. A game that the Heat needed, obviously, in my opinion. I don't think they have any chance to even force it to seven with everything that we've seen these first four games. But I would say that AD's three was clutch at the end of the game last night, but the crunch time shots were made by KCP, and LeBron was the playmaking on those on those things. LeBron's been playmaking for the Lakers, and in my opinion, it goes back to my argument on LeBron should have winning the MVP this season. They wouldn't be in this position if it wasn't for LeBron James. With Anthony Davis by himself, with what this roster is constructed around him, represent the Western Conference Finals? Fuck no, in my opinion. LeBron James is the reason that they're up 3-1 in this finals, and that they're in the NBA Finals, and I don't understand how you couldn't consider him the MVP, even what he's done in these finals. It's better than Anthony Davis, even what he's done on defense, in my opinion.
I don't have a hard stance on it either way, but none of what – I mean, yeah, of course LeBron James is the better player overall, and he's the reason they're here, but that doesn't matter. The finals MVP is just for the finals games, and I think it could go either way. I'm not even going to argue about who –
Yeah, but, dude, that's my point, that with this – really with LeBron James, there's no ifs, ands, or buts around it. We get into the argument with – Michael Jordan. And Michael Jordan, he won them every time because of, in fact, he was what I just said and what you just said. The best player that got them there and wouldn't have got them there if it wasn't for him. That's basically LeBron James. Why wouldn't he win the MVP, the finals MVP?
You're right about that, but that's not what the finals MVP is. The finals MVP is on your play in the finals. And I'm not knocking LeBron's play in the finals at all. He's played very well. I think it's been close enough so far to where it could go either way, depending on how these next two games go. That's all I'm saying. Not that I don't think LeBron's deserving of it so far. What I wanted to say is Kelly Olynyk in, I think it was game three, the game they won, had an incredible game. He had 24-9-2, played 37 minutes, played really good defense. I feel like people think of him as not a great defender because he's like a skinny, tall, white guy or whatever, but like, he has a history of not guarding LeBron one-on-one at all, but giving LeBron James teams trouble in the postseason for whatever that's worth. And he had really good games. He had a good game in game two as well. I don't have the stat line in front of me. And it's not a knock on Bam. Bam played well for not having played in two games and being injured. But his line was like 15-7-1. That's not what Bam's normally giving you. So I just thought Kelly Olynyk should have been out there more. He played really well for them in game three, the game they won. And then you put him right back down to 12 minutes while giving a hurt Bam, who's moving slow on defense, over 30, and Kendrick Nunn 25 minutes.
Yeah, like, that's crazy.
I would have had Kelly Olynyk out there a lot.
That's crazy, but I do need to throw this in there quick, and I do need to get your take on something I heard also about Kyle Kuzma, and a quick little nugget on the NBA Finals. Dion Waiters could potentially receive a ring regardless because he was on the Heat and the Lakers, and I don't even know, honestly, which team he's on now. It's not like I think he's on the Lakers now. Right? He's on the Lakers now. So Whatever it is. So, anyways, that's an interesting little nugget out of there. You got to respect Jimmy Butler, man. You got to respect Jimmy Butler, dude. Like, that dude plays so hard. He in that game three, even in the first two games, and obviously they got beat, he's out there playing hard, man. Even last night, I mean, he went cold in the second half, but he had his team right there. And if his team made a few more shots and his coach played a different lineup, they could have probably won the game. And the Lakers pulled away with only 2 minutes to go. I mean, it was right there for them to take. And that was a tough loss, but I think you got to respect Jimmy Butler for what he's done, man. He's second only to Walt Frazier, 74 points he was accountable for in terms of points and assisted on. Jimmy Butler, 73 in game three with his 40-point triple-double and what he did in that game. And regardless of it was, you got to respect him for not getting swept, him coming out there and balling out in one game without Goran Dragic, I mind you. A really big loss, in my opinion, for the Heat, in which you have him. I think the series could go a lot deeper than it could be expected to go now. Did you see the thing on the Kyle Kuzma petition, bro? Which I literally just saw like an hour ago, basically how they're fans petitioning over 1,000 signatures or whatever it is for them to not get rings. That's actually hilarious. And not that I agree with it, but I think that's actually funny. Why are they doing that? I mean, Kuzma's been actually playing pretty well off the bench, in my opinion. Obviously not what they expected him to be in terms of what, the big three, but like, I didn't think he was going to be that anyways. So I think he's playing pretty well for what he is, but I will say what Kyle Kuzma does sometimes, which is kind of lame, literally just stand in the corner with his hands like this, literally waiting to get the ball, and that's it. If he gets past, he'll shoot, and if he doesn't, he does nothing else. He doesn't move, cut, nothing. Literally just stand in the corner. I've seen that a few times in a few different presents. So I don't know.
It's just so tough. I'm sure Duke or Chewy would argue this if they were here. Maybe even you would. But for as much as LeBron James makes people better, he can make people worse too. It depends on the kind of player. But it's not LeBron's fault. What LeBron's doing is for the best of the team, and the team's going to win if LeBron's doing it his way. But LeBron makes a specific kind of player better. LeBron makes big guys better. LeBron makes spot-up shooters better, defensive guys, 3-and-D guys better. LeBron does not make people better who need to, like, create their own shot and have the ball in their hands, because the team's always going to be better with the ball in LeBron's hands, which is why Lonzo, Brandon Ingram, Kyle Kuzma all just probably weren't the best fits. Kyle Kuzma made more sense than the other one, so I get why they kept him, but, like, I would look to move him going forward. I think he would do better on a team where he could just get the ball and kind of do his own shit a little bit. It's just, I imagine it's probably pretty hard to play when the way you play is like getting up some shots, moving off the dribble, kind of like being the guy. But like, it's always going to be a bad shot when you're on LeBron James's team and you're doing that and not giving him the ball. So like, it's just a tough spot to be in for a young guy who plays like that.
You had the Lakers in five, right? On the pod?
Yeah, the Lakers in five. Yeah.
All right. So you're still looking good there. Not looking good for Lakers in seven for me, but Lakers, you got to give them some props too. You got to give LeBron some props. And I saw this thing too. Last thing here, I got to get in on the NBA. Try and set a little bit of a shorter timer for this. Did you see that there was a study that 19% of fans said that the championship is not valid? And I was wondering what this study was or came from or what. I tried to do some research on it. Did like Skip Bayless start this study? Or like, what is the fucking deal here? I totally disagree with that. Why can't I vote on that? I think it's crazy and asinine to say that with what these guys have done and gone through in order to compete for a championship. Literally leave their families for what has turned out to be 2 months and isolate themselves from the entire country, basically. Obviously, you're in a bubble. I mean, it's pretty much house arrest. And obviously, they're going to compare it to prison. It ain't fucking prison. They got bougie shit and all kinds of stuff going on. Everything that they can do inside there above the sun. But yeah, obviously they have to stay in there. So that's obviously been pretty tough, obviously, on their mentals. And I think you got to give some of the credit where credit is due. I think the teams that were the best rise to the crop in terms of how it was set up. And you got what I think is the two best teams on both sides, even though I had the Clippers competing a little bit more. Obviously, I was certainly wrong about that. The Lakers were right in there and competed, and LeBron James has been showing out. And is it just because he's going to win the championship potentially? I think that's utterly ridiculous and stupid. Like, I don't understand how people could even say that when everything the NBA has done to get this season completed and what you're seeing in some of these other professional sporting leagues, they're having a season. And what you're going to say about theirs, I think the NBA has done it the cleanest, and I think their championship should be the most valid. I mean, MLB baseball, they only played 60 games, a third of the season. The NFL, who knows what's going to happen with them? How valid are those championships going to be? I think the NBA's championship is pretty valid. I think everything was pretty fair. And I think 19% of people saying that it's not is pretty crazy.
Yeah. 19% of 1,000 isn't that many people saying it. Small sample size. And also half the people answering that are probably people that watch it less than us, pay way less attention than us, or than your average, than the average person. So like,
but why do they get a say then? I don't understand that. Who the hell gets a say in this study?
It literally could have been as simple as like a Facebook or Twitter poll. It could have been something they gave out to some people. So, like, that's the thing. It could be literally anything. Like,
yeah, that's stupid.
Who's the demographic of people? Are people saying, no, it's not valid because they're like people that are angry the NBA is promoting social justice?
That's what I want to know.
There's just so many variables where it doesn't even matter. It's like the players played. There wasn't any like crazy like LeBron getting the virus or something that's like, oh, that's not how it would have gone. Like, the games were played, the players went out and played, put their life on hold and played. It's just as valid as any other championship is. It's unfortunate that the finals matchup isn't great, but like, to be realistic, the finals matchup isn't always great. Playoff matchups are great. Last year it was cool to see the Warriors lose, so people were invested, but like, it wasn't this like great nail-biting series in any of the games. A lot of the Cavs-Warriors series were really lopsided. So like in reality, it's not that different from a lot of finals series. It was a normal season, normal playoffs. It absolutely counts.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. But I think when you look at the way they had to change it a little bit, format it differently a little bit, like the way the Blazers got in, like I thought that to me was part of some of the most whack in terms of the validity. But the way everything played out and the way everything played out for the actual bubble, I think there's no way in hell that that's even a valid take, because it was different than I thought. It was fairer than I thought. And the games in competition to me were better than what anyone could have expected coming off a 3.5-4 month layoff from playing basketball. I mean, if anything, there's a little bit to do with the referees, dude. I think the referees have been scumming it a little bit, dude. I think they've been pretty tough. I really have. I think the referees, in terms of what they've called and been like in the bubble, have been pretty tough. And I think that has definitely affected some of the outcomes of some of these games, but that's part of the game. And you're going to have to live with that if you're the teams. But I do question some of the stuff that's going on with the referees in the bubble. And I wonder if there's just because of no fans or whatever it is, but do you think they've been making good calls, bro? I think there's been, obviously, they make good calls most of the time. I think it's one of the toughest jobs ever to be an NBA referee, but I've seen some bad calls for sure.
I almost don't even, yes, there are some bad calls, but what pisses me off more than the ref bad calls is the flopping is just kind of unreal. It's just so stupid. They need to start like suspending players for it. It's literally ridiculous. Like, it makes it, I'm one of the biggest NBA fans there can be, and to me, I'm literally just sitting there like, that's not even fun to watch. Like, dude, you're a grown man. Do not topple over to the ground when someone presses the back of their hand against you to get it. Like, it just looks so dumb watching it back. And that's the only reason sometimes I give the refs the benefit of the doubt for making like these terrible calls. Cause like, it's, when you're looking one way and you're seeing dudes like fall on the ground, your instincts to call it. And then you're like, oh, they're flopping. Do I not call that? Or like, same with people getting hit on these shots. And like, dudes are just complaining after every shot. Like, they were calling out Caruso and LeBron after a few plays last night when they were like whining about some stuff. Like, Caruso is like, I don't know the solution. I don't like to complain about things and without saying there's like a possible solution, because I don't know what you do. But like, they need to do something about that with the players. Like, literally just sit the players in a room and watch every player watch on loop 10 minutes of themselves flopping on the ground and looking like an idiot so that they stop doing it. I don't know. But it literally looks ridiculous.
That and what I told you last night. Hold on. Go ahead.
If you showed me myself doing that, I would be so embarrassed. If we were in high school and Mr. McCormick played that back, I'd be like, you should just cut me from the team. That's, yeah, I don't know what – I don't know. I'm sorry. Like, that's just falling on the ground. Like,
flopping is pretty bad, but what is even worse, in my opinion, with the what was going on with the NBA is you give these guys a challenge, but then you don't give them another one if they win the challenge, and you go and blow a challenge on something like that. We talked about it a little last night. The NBA's got to fix that, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's really dumb. Like, Tyler Hero's play, or the play that's been all over Instagram, LeBron's dunk, where he, like, pushes Tyler Hero. He, like, I know LeBron's a huge dude, and Tyler Hero is small compared to NBA dudes, but he barely touched Tyler Hero, and Tyler Hero falls to the ground looking for the call, and then LeBron just throws it down. It's like, dude, you look ridiculous. Just don't fall to the ground.
Literally. Well, a couple of little nuggets before I switch out, before I forget. In the NBA, just on Jimmy Butler's game 3, it was only the third triple-double in the finals, joining Jerry West and LeBron, and he was talked about his scored or assisted on 73 points. That was second to Walt Frazier and Jerry West, third, actually, with them, Walt Frazier having 74. Just crazy game by Jimmy Butler, and I don't know if they win another game, but if they do, it's by him having a game like that, because I think without Goran Dragic and Bam looking the way he did, even though he came back, I think he's going to have to score 40 points for them to win a game, even with how good LeBron and Anthony Davis, the duo, is playing there. Some of these other pieces around them, are the Lakers, are helping, and it's going to be enough to win them a championship, and I most certainly think it's going to be valid. All right. I think Raj will be here at some point. I know you got to go at, I don't know, probably like 15, 20, whatever it is, half hour, 20 from now, whatever it is. So I guess I'll get in a couple more of these and then do my break, and hopefully Raj comes in. But if not, all good. He's kind of like the wind. And when you're out in California, I can only presume that it's tough making it into the pod. But I'm sure he will. He's texted me back, said he was coming in a few. I don't know. I told him to accept the link. I don't even know if he knows what to do. That's part of the thing, too. I fucking love Raj. Anyways, wow. So I was certainly wrong about, let's see. I was certainly wrong about Adam Gase being the first head coach fired, and Dan Quinn, because I had talked about it being Dan Quinn, and then I was like, well, Adam Gase is going to get fired if they lose this Thursday night, and he didn't. The Jets have now said that he's going to remain the head coach for the remainder of the season. I don't understand that. I don't understand that at all. And Dan Quinn, Falcons 0-4 for the first time since 1999. What the Falcons have done, what they've done on the offensive side of the ball for them to be 0-4 with their defense is utterly atrocious. And after blowing that 28-3 or whatever the fuck lead it was against the Patriots in the Super Bowl, Dan Quinn's got to fucking go too. I cannot believe he hasn't gone. But no, it's Bill O'Brien. It's Bill O'Brien, the first head coach fired in the NFL, the earliest head coach firing since 2015 in the NFL. Bill O'Brien, Texans head coach and GM, I mind you, was fired a few days ago after the Texans' first 0-4 start since 2008. Bill O'Brien, 52-48 record in 7 seasons. He does have 4 division titles, but I mind you, every time he makes it to the playoffs, they lose, including last season in which they blew a 24-0 lead up against the Chiefs in the playoffs. Then he traded away DeAndre Hopkins. Started the season 0-4, and I mind you, they don't have any of their first or second round picks in this year's upcoming draft. The Texans are absolutely screwed. They're 0-4. They fire Bill O'Brien. He probably should have gotten fired last year. That was something I talked about on the podcast back when I started it up. Now he's gone. I don't know where the Texans go from here. They're not really good. Deshaun Watson signs a whatever it is, $160 million, 4 or 5 year deal. They might not even be good. And in a division that I think is pretty jammed up, the Colts have been playing better, a division that I think they're going to take. Everything else going on with the Jaguars competing a lot more than I could have imagined. I think the Texans are basically blowing this season up. If you're going to go and fire your coach 4 games in, basically giving up on the season and him already, unless they can turn it around, the only hope is in Deshaun Watson, but I don't think he has enough weapons. And I think the trade that Bill O'Brien made for DeAndre Hopkins might literally be the worst of all time in the NFL, and it's got them where they are right now. Pretty much set back for what's going to be 2 to 3 years, and now having a head coaching vacancy. You surprised about that firing, Rich?
Yeah. No, not really, but it's just, it's one of those things where I think it's across all sports. You're setting people up for failure when you're having them do two jobs that are both hard jobs to do, even when you're doing one of them. Like, only the best football or basketball mind can do a GM and a coaching job well. Like, who's done it well? Belichick, Popovich.
Nobody else.
Like that's what I'm saying. You don't give it to Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien's not the next guy. So, like,
I think he's overrated as hell. I think Bill O'Brien is overrated as hell. And I've been asking for him to go. And I think it's just a thing where he's been around too long. And now it just seems like a splash firing. But Ben should have fired. It's the Texans aren't good, though.
I don't disagree with the firing at all. But I don't know. It's kind of like Bill O'Brien's a great offensive mind. So, like, I don't know. I'd take him on my – if I had a football team, I'd take him on my team, like, helping our offense. I don't know if I'd want him as our head coach. I sure as hell wouldn't want him as my GM. But I think that's kind of on the team right there for making your head coach your GM. Like, if you're going to make some head coach your GM, it better – I don't know if they would actually be great at it, but it better be someone like Harbaugh or Andy Reid or someone that's, like, really established and proven they could do job one before you give them job two. You don't give it to someone who hasn't proven they could do the head coaching job well. Because how do you trust someone who can't head coach well enough to get the assets to head coach two? That's just, like, way too much stake in one person on your team. So I don't think it's a good idea for anyone. Like, Stan Van Gundy had it in Detroit. That didn't go well. Doc Rivers had it on the Clippers. That didn't go well. I'm sure there's other examples of people having it in football, but I don't know them off the top of my head. It's just not a good idea unless you have someone who is literally like a top two minded in your sport.
No, I agree, but I think it'll be interesting to see where the.
I'm not surprised by it, but
I'm not either. But I am surprised that he got fired before Dan Quinn and Adam Gase and Vic Fangio and
there's
some other guys in the hot seat already. Matt Patricia for the Detroit Lions.
Yeah. I'll say this, though, because I went off in another direction. I am surprised that they did it now, because I don't think that totally makes sense. Like, they just had their four hardest games on the schedule. Like, yeah, you didn't expect to – maybe not the four, but at least the first three were their hardest games on the schedule, maybe not the Vikings. But their first three, the hardest games on the schedule. Like, yeah, you probably didn't expect to go 0-4 through them, but I would have thought if you were confident enough in him to make your overall GM and coaching decisions going into the season that you weren't going to fire him for losing to three elite teams. So it seems like a weird time for the fire. I would have thought they either did it before the season or did it a few more games in, but I don't know. I guess they're trying to salvage the season if they can.
True. You did say Doc Rivers, which did remind me before you got to get out of here, a couple other things I did want to kind of get in the podcast. So I guess I'll transfer back out of the NFL, kind of all over the place today, but no surprise. And I'm only doing this once a week and there's that much going on in sports. The organization's a little bit lacking, but I appreciate everybody that, listens in and follows along. That's much love there. And, Doc Rivers to the Sixers. Mike, I'm sure is somewhat happy about that. I would say to him, bro, hopefully he's not now the fourth time that he loses down 3-1 or up 3-1 in the series or whatever the fuck it is. Because I think that's just kind of his MO where he just, I don't know, he's a great coach. I think you said it once on my podcast. It's he got that championship with the Celtics and he's now kind of reigned as a championship caliber coach. But was the championship a lot about him or a lot about his players? Yo, no way. Go ahead, talk. Raj is here, though. Go ahead.
I was going to say, people act like they won, like, four titles. They won one and lost one or two to the Lakers. So, I don't know. He's a good coach, but I don't know if he's – hey, Raj.
What up, boys?
How are you doing?
Yo, what is good, Raj?
Yep.
I am so pumped you're here, dude. What is good right now? Tell me what's good. How you doing? Speak to me.
Hey, well.
How's everything?
Doing all right. Hanging in, you know?
How's things out there?
Freaking. Still out here doing the whole COVID thing, you know? Fucking.
How's that been?
No, I don't know, man. Nothing's really changed out here.
Stupid, huh?
Yeah, it's wild. But it's been stupid the whole time, so.
Is it still shut down? How's it looking?
What, work-wise?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, same thing. I mean, I worked here and there probably, but like a handful of times since the last time we talked.
Word.
Yeah, so just still just poor caddying, and you know, we can't carry bags and all that good shit. So that is what it is.
Yeah, I hear you, man. It's definitely been crazy, obviously, everywhere, but it's still impacting places and sports, and I don't know how much longer that's going to go on, but I don't think anybody wants that, but I think that's just, like, the reality. So it just sucks, and I feel for you, but I feel the same way myself, where it's like I'm getting ready for an off season, and, like, everyone's like, oh, like, yeah, we're going to come back next year. Like, everything will be normal and back and, like, the same. And it's like, I'm looking at them like, is it? Like, am I just going to come back in the spring and it's going to be normal and the same? I don't know, dude. And me, that's like a depressing reality. But I think that if you're not thinking that that's the case, then you're kind of living with your head in the sand. And it does suck, dude. I completely agree with you. It's not that anybody wants to admit that this isn't cool. But I think it's... When we first talked about it, it's definitely proven to be something that we've had to definitely live with, and it's changed our lives a lot, and it does, I think, suck, and how much longer it's going to go on is going to affect us. It's affecting NFL, and it's obviously these other sports had to be in a bubble, and I do want to get into some of the sports with you. I know you've been watching some of the golf, and I know Rich has got to get out of here soon, so I'll let you say what's up to him while I kind of get some of the things on the docket. Rich, what's good, dude? Say what's up to Raj.
What's good, man? How's life out there?
Hey, we got Richard Squared on the mic right now.
I call it Richard Combination,
did
bro.
I asked you last time I saw you on here. Are you coming back for Turkey Day or Christmas, or what's your move?
I'll be around for Christmas, dude.
Cool.
Word. Yeah, I want some Christmas festivities.
That's the last time I saw you, bro. That's the last time I saw you. That was fire.
Yeah, we do that once a year.
Love to see it.
Yeah, fuck. So, shit, Jared, I don't know. What happened to the Celtics? They shit their pants. And then...
Yeah, Celtics, you know, shit their pants a little. NBA Finals hasn't been as exciting as I'd like it to be, but it's been all right. See LeBron get another ring, I guess. Bright side is it's back in 2 months after this, so that's cool, and football's still going.
Is that right? They're doing the next season in 2 months?
No, it's just supposed to start in January.
3 months, okay.
Which is kind of up in the air right now, Rich.
It's a beautiful thing to have no time without football or basketball for like another year, basically. Like, while the NBA is gone, football is going to be going, and when the football season ends, NBA is going to be going again. So that makes me happy.
Yo, Raj, I did want to ask you. You pumped about the Lakers. You hyped for LeBron. Like, what's good? You happy with the Lakers or what?
I got mad love for LeBron. Like, that dude's legit in my eyes. So, like, good for him.
And I would ask you this, because we talked about it a little bit before you got on here. Like, 19% of people said that in a study that the championship is not valid. Like, do you think the championship is valid in terms of how they kind of went through and got through the bubble? What's good?
100%.
All right, word. I'm glad you're on that level. 100% love it. Love that you're on that level. Got the bell going off. I'll fix that. Let's get into some of the stuff with the NFL. You see what happened with the Titans, dude? Absolute outbreak. And kind of where I'm at with them, did you see what happened with the virtual draft in terms of Mike Vrabel having some dude in the background taking a dump and shit? He's kind of that guy, in my opinion. No, seriously. That, like, has dumb shit going on. And then what happened with the pandemic going on is you had a global outbreak going on in your damn locker room. And the Titans are screwed, man. I don't think they're playing this week. They didn't play last week. It's going to affect some games. The Patriots, I don't think they're playing this week. Cam Newton tested positive. Stephon Gilmore tested positive today. Patriots canceled practice. I think you're going to have postponement of games. I think the NFL might be looking at shutting it down for a couple weeks. I don't know what the hell they're going to do, because now they're looking at a contingency to add an 18th week, all this other shit. Yeah, no kidding, because you're going to have to postpone some games because whatever the NFL is doing isn't working. And I think it literally blows my mind, because they had the most amount of time to get ready for this, heading into this, in terms of leading up with the virus, with others compared to other sports. And it's, in my opinion, other sports have done better. Them allowing fans and all the stuff that the NFL is doing for the money purposes, to me, isn't the most safe and health and safety factor for the players. And you have some stuff popping up now where, I mean, dude, it's gotta impact it at some point. Put fantasy football aside. Like, when you have a week come up where two teams can't play, that impacts two other teams. Now you got four games off the thing or whatever it is. That's going to be tough if that's happening 2-3 weeks in a row, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, looking, like, hindsight's 2020, it seems like they maybe should have built, like, maybe, like, a 22-week NFL season with, like, a lot of, like, buys in there where they'd be able to fill in games, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it feels like maybe that would have been a better move.
Yeah.
But,
do you think they're going to get the whole season in?
I mean, I don't know. What the fuck do I know? But, well, bummer that, let's talk about the other night first. Bummer that fucking, they couldn't get Cam to play because the Pats had the Chiefs, like, on the ropes, kind of.
Okay. I'm glad you brought that up, too, because here's the thing with this. Cam Newton tests positive. This whole thing with the COVID, right, being so serious, you got to have a fucking 14-day quarantine. NFL's like, fuck that. We're having a game 2 days later. Stephon Gilmore tests positive. He's talked about being near Patrick Mahomes. He's got a statement out where it's like, oh, shit, like, I got to be a little more careful and follow the protocol. Dude, what's going to happen here is, in my opinion, you're going to have tests on all these teams pretty soon if they keep running it like they are over the next few weeks. I think you will. There's no doubt about it. Yeah. Because the NFL is coming out and be like, oh, we're so lucky, man. The virus doesn't cross the line of scrimmage. All the Vikings players test negative. That's a load of fucking shit. That, like, the fact that they're saying that on live TV is fucking ridiculous.
Oh, dude, the whole thing's a load of shit. And, like, there's a lot of other crazy shit that gets said on live TV besides motherfucking ESPN. So, like, who fucking cares?
True, I hear you there. All right, so should I start with the good or the bad in the NFL?
Nah, dude, I don't even want to fucking do this.
Are you still a Giants fan? Let me get this on the record first. I need to know. Are you still a fan of the team?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Because I am. And this fucking sucks. And I don't like talking about them a lot. But this is bad, dude. 0-4. After 4 weeks, bro, we're in the defense in terms of ranking yards. We're fifth. Points, we're 13th. But offense, yards, 31st. Points, 32nd. We've scored 3 touchdowns. We have no touchdowns in the last 3 games. Now, the bright side to all this, and how bad we suck, the fact that 21 players have more touchdowns than our entire team. Daniel is playing like a piece of crap. Oh, and I forgot to tell you, I only call him Daniel from now on. He's not Dimes. He's not Daniel Jones, Danny, nothing. He's Daniel. He fucking sucks.
Not even DJ.
I hate him, dude. I don't like him. I hate him.
Really?
I really do. And I was so high on him after rookie year, and I get that. His 41.5% pressure percentage is 3rd in the NFL. Pass blocking, 32nd in the NFL. Our offensive line sucks. Okay, I get it. He's got no time. Saquon Barkley, torn ACL out for the year. Sterling Shepard out for a while. Yeah, all that shit sucks. But the defense is playing better. I think Joe Judge got the culture a little better. The reason why we're losing games, bro, is because of Daniel. We could have beat the Rams, but Daniel blew it. We could have beat the Steelers, in my opinion. But what did Daniel do? Driving down, 19-play drive. Fucking pick at the worst time. You know what Daniel reminds me of, Raj? A really lot of, and a lot of people said this, but it reminds me a lot of Eli Manning. And you want to know the worst part? He's not as good. He's not as good. And I used to have to defend Eli Manning being a good elite caliber quarterback, which I think he is. Now I have to try and do this for this guy, Daniel? No, he's not. He's not. The reason why we're 0-4, in my opinion, is not because of our defense. It's not because of our coaching staff and the fact of not a lot of pressure and all this shit. It's not because of Saquon Barkley being out. Yeah, it doesn't help. It's because of Daniel Jones playing like a piece of garbage. Not good, in my opinion. And I don't know if you saw this, Raj. Dwayne Haskins just got benched today by the Washington football team. There's 3 wins in the division through week 4. So the only good news is that we play in literally the worst division ever. Like, we technically still have a chance. Any other 0-1 football team in any other division would be done. But we technically still have a chance to win the division, which is just ridiculous. I don't think we're going to, but I'm going to hold out hope. I mean, in my opinion, though, it's Daniel, bro. And I think the Giants suck because of him.
When I watch the games, I see a defense that's, like, uninspired. The defense doesn't have a leader. They don't have a fucking, like, a heartbeat. And on offense, we just can't block anybody. To me, it's not really a Daniel Jones issue. It's like it's an issue up front.
You don't think him turning the ball over the way he is?
He's getting pressured. He's not taking care of the football. Like, I can give you that for sure.
But he is getting pressured. I'll give you that.
To defend him a little, the Steelers scored 26 on you guys, and the 49ers scored 36. So, like, Daniel Jones was never expected to be that dude this year with, like, the blocking and everything, who goes out there and is, like, putting up 35 points for the offense every night, I don't think, especially without Saquon. So, like, I wouldn't blame him that much, honestly. I feel like he got to run it back with a healthy team. The problems you were saying that last year, and the Giants just can't seem to get a healthy team.
That's kind of the annoying part, and I think the other thing, too, is they're trying to do that now with Dave Gettleman, who, to me, in my opinion, is just horrible. 9-26 since being the GM of this team. We suck, dude. And the only reason that we have a chance is because we play in a division that sucks, and the rest of the teams in the division suck. Washington football team ain't going to be good. You just benched Dwayne Haskins. Report breaking today. I don't know. I guess they're pretty much done. The Cowboys, bro, here's a good one. They should be 0-4. They should literally be 0-4 if it wasn't for a game up against the Atlanta Falcons they lost, in which their other teams were 440-0 in those situations. Nope. Falcons blew it. Cowboys win the game, but they get smoked by the Browns. Browns score 49 points, most points since 2007, I believe, or 2017, one of the two. I got to get that stat because I think it's 2007, bro. I think the Browns scored the most points since 2007 up against the Cowboys, 49 points. The Cowboys fucking suck. The Eagles, they squeak out a win, but they're not much better. And if the Giants can win a game, we could at least be in it. The problem is we can't do that, dude. And the division is so bad, you're going to have a 6-10, 7-9-1, or whatever the fuck it is, team representing the division hosting a game in the playoffs, which, in my opinion, is also kind of disgusting. The NFL should change that. The NFL, they should reseed it, because they shouldn't even be able to host a fucking home game.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about reseeding it, but, like, it's bad. It's bad.
All right, so
there's not really much else to say about it.
I know Rich has to go soon, so I got to get a couple of little things in on the NFL, and I want you guys to answer them. In terms of teams that are undefeated, which one are you buying the most? You got the Kansas City Chiefs 4-0, Buffalo Bills 4-0, Green Bay Packers 4-0, Seattle Seahawks 4-0, Pittsburgh and Tennessee Titans game postponed, both at 3-0, and that is it. Which team you liking?
AFC's the Chiefs. NFC's got to be the Seahawks. The Seahawks are Russell Wilson's out of his mind.
You liking Russell Wilson?
I'd say AFC Chiefs, NFC. I'd go Packers probably just because the Seahawks defense has been so bad, but the Packers isn't elite by any means.
All right, you guys aren't buying Josh Allen and the Bills at all, bro?
Not over the Chiefs.
Well, obviously not over the Chiefs.
I actually met Josh Allen at the U.S. Open last year.
What?
I actually met Josh Allen at the U.S. Open last year.
That is fire news for the pod.
I was chilling with my buddy Chris. Shout out Chris Graham.
Yep.
Fresno guy. Fresno baseball. Bulldogs.
Love it.
Yeah, I was shooting the shit with my buddy Chris, and he's like, hey, do you know Josh? And I turn around, and this big, tall guy, Josh, and hey, what's up? Nice to meet you, blah, blah, blah. Shot the shit for like 5 minutes, and he left, and he's like, my buddy's Chris, like, you know who that was? I was like, yeah, I don't know. He's like, yeah, Josh Allen.
Yeah. All right, well, Josh Allen in his last 15 games has 36 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. The Bills are 4-0. You still got the Patriots winning the division, Raj?
Yeah.
All right.
I don't know. It's good. I think it's great. I have so much fun watching the Patriots because, like, dude, I just got mad respect for Belichick. It's like the same thing with, like, Bama. Like, mad respect for those teams that just dominate. Spurs, same thing. Like, I enjoy watching, like, dominant programs.
All right. I'll respect that. I don't agree with it. Atlanta Falcons, 0-4. Our New York Giants, 0-4. Houston Texans, 0-4. Fire Bill O'Brien. Comment on that for me real quick.
Well, they had to do something. How long was that guy in charge of the team? Like 5 seasons?
7 seasons. 52-48 record. 4 division titles. But nothing to show for it. I think he had to go way sooner. Let's see. You got the Jets are 0-4. And the... That's about it for undefeateds. What's the most disappointing? I know we covered our Giants. What do you guys got out of those other teams?
The Giants have to be the most disappointing.
Really? Sure. Really? I mean, I personally, I would have to agree with that, but I can't go with that. I think it's got to be the Falcons, dude. First time 0-4 since 1999. I think the games they blew were utterly atrocious, and they continue to do so. I think Dan Quinn is definitely on the hot seat, and I'm surprised he wasn't fired. I had him as one of the ones getting fired pretty early. Rich.
Yeah, I'd take Falcons just because, I don't know, I play a lot of DraftKings, a lot of fantasy. Like, they're the team that has people, like, winning every single week despite going 0-4. So it's just kind of upsetting to see such an exciting offense just suck so bad on the other end and lose every game. Like, you feel bad for Ridley and Julio and everyone. You're like, damn. All right, another loss.
Literally. All right, Raj.
Every week.
Rich, you got to get out of here, right?
Yeah, I got to hop out for a little work meeting, but good to see you, Raj, and say hopefully get back on here soon.
All right, yeah, word. Glad we got to link up, bro. Have a good rest of the day. Hopefully I'll catch you later.
Good morning, brother.
Raj, Giants got the Cowboys this week. Any chance we can win the game?
Nah.
Zero chance you're giving them?
Yeah.
It's not happening?
Nah, man.
Really?
I mean, shit. Where are we playing?
It's at Dallas. We historically play pretty well there. Well, Eli did.
Jerry Land.
Oh, man. You know, I'll tell you, if we lose this one, hopefully you might want to text me and make sure I'm doing all right.
It's tough, dude. It's real tough. It's tough to just stomach it.
If we do beat them, though, same record. So I'm just going to hang your hat on that. I'm going to hopefully have Joe Judge giving that as the speech. And if the team can just bring some fire to the fucking game, we might be able to win. I don't know. Dak Prescott has been looking pretty good. I think Dallas' defense is horrible. I think it's same old woes with Dallas. I think Mike McCarthy was kind of a dumb hire, and it's kind of showing up. And there's talks of already him being on the hot seat in the media. I think that's a little bit far-fetched, but at the same time, I think that's going to be valid if they go and have a fucking 6-10 season when everyone talked about them being Super Bowl contenders. And I know everyone talks about that every single year, but like when you go out and get a new coach after all the problems with Jason Garrett and you got this unbelievable team and you bring in all these players and then you go and dud out the entire season, I don't know. I think that's got to come back to some type of problem.
Yeah, I mean, you said it every year. It's every year the Cowboys year. So, like, you know.
I think I asked you this before, so I think this is where I'm at then. If I have the Giants winning the division, obviously that's just a little bit of bias and just going to be crazy about it. I'm going to still stick with it because it could still potentially happen, at least until it can't. Anyways, if they don't, I'm going to have the Eagles winning the division because I don't think the Cowboys can. I think the Cowboys are trash. And I think that the Eagles, even with how crappy they've been, I think are better than the Cowboys. And I think the Eagles then will be the first NFC East team to win back-to-back titles in a pretty long time. We'll see how it goes, but I think I asked you this before. So who you got winning the division then? You got the Eagles winning the division?
Yeah, if I had to pick a team, I would pick the Eagles, you know, but it's just crazy. It's wild. How bad a division can be.
Literally. It is laughable. It is literally unbelievable how bad that division is. I almost don't want to talk about it anymore. I've almost tried, but it's just so hard. Anyways, the OBJ game, that was fire, though, up against the Cowboys. How he scored on that play was unbelievable, that reverse. I don't know. He had 171 yards and 3 touchdowns on, like, 7 touches. Dude was flaming on the Cowboys like he always does. That was fucking awesome. I love the Browns, bro. 3-1, playing really well. Watch out for the Browns, bro. I'm serious.
Well, it's like, I mean, God, like, Why did they not use Odell for the first year they had him?
Because they're fucking morons. Freddie Kitchen sucks. Kyle Stefanski, I like, bro. I think people are sleeping on the Browns. Myles Garrett, really up there for Defensive Player of the Year conversations as well. You got people are sleeping on the Browns, man, because it's the Browns, but I think they have a really something going on there. It depends on Baker Mayfield's play, and he's been playing better over the last couple weeks. If you can get it to Odell and Jarvis and your playmakers like he's doing, Kareem Hunt, I think he's underrated because he obviously had that incident happen and ended up having to sign with a new team. He's an RB1. And now with Nick Chubb being out, who's also an RB1, he's now plugged in. They got two RB1s, so they're fine. They got a tight end in Austin Hooper, so it depends on defense and coaching. I think it's looking a lot better. I think the Browns have a chance to make the playoffs in an expanded NFL format.
Hey, more power to them. It's a fun team. For sure, it's like a fun roster to root for.
Have you been following any of the baseball playoffs at all?
I tune in on the Yankees games when I can.
You got the Yankees making the World Series?
They look pretty good. I mean, especially with Giancarlo back.
Yeah, he's got like four home runs in like four postseason games. Yeah, he's absolutely going nuts. So I wouldn't be surprised if they got a tough series going up against the Rays, who had the best record in the AL, only three games behind the Dodgers for the best record in baseball. So hopefully if they can get out of that series, I think it'd look good for the Yanks. I think it's tied 1-1 right now. Obviously, you're going to have those games going on today, all four games across the MLB in terms of the divisional round series playing in the same day, which is pretty cool for baseball fans. It's kind of like the college football baseball going on, and it's pretty dope. You had eight games going on last Wednesday, which was wild. Like, Chewy was licking his chops on that. So we covered the NBA a little bit, the NFL, obviously, and the MLB. So I guess before I get you out of here, let's talk a little golf.
Yeah.
You been golfing?
Yeah, I just started swinging again because I had a little wrist issue.
What'd you do?
I had to take like a month. I hurt my wrist doing something and couldn't really swing the club. And
oh, word.
Got back into it now, and our caddy course opened up the other day. It had been closed since like March, and so I went out there on Thursday and played for the first time in like a month, and the first time playing that course in a couple months. So that was fun. Course with money because it was nobody had played it in like 6 months. It's Old Del Monte. It's the oldest golf course west of the Mississippi.
That is fire.
Yeah, and it's like the owned by Pebble Beach, but nobody plays it. And
yeah.
So they let the caddies play it and shit, you know.
You've been shooting well. You've been out. What's good?
Yeah. I went out. What'd I do? I shot like six over on the front, and then on the back, I started with like five pars in a row. And I think I finished around like 85. So it was a good back into it round.
Word.
You said you played TPC this morning?
Yep, sure did, bro. I had a round out there at TPC, River Highlands. Used to work out there. It's always fun playing out there. They obviously host a Travelers Championship. Shot 76. Didn't make too many putts, but dude, the course is in fire shape for this time of year. It's unbelievable, immaculate, and I'm telling you, you always come up when it's shitty time. So if you're ever up here during the time when we can golf,
I'm getting
you out there for sure, bro. That's a promise.
For sure.
I do want to try and link up and golf for sure, though, man. It's been
We're gonna make it happen.
Yeah, oh, we definitely will. But the problem is, I haven't even been golfing much, bro. I got a tournament next Tuesday, I think, with my boss. We're playing in a pro up in Ludlow. Which is cool. Like, I'm playing a course I haven't played before. So, you know, just trying to play new courses. And swing's feeling good. Just the short game, the putting's a little off because I'm just not playing enough. So, you know, I'm trying to keep it sharp, but it's just not there. It'd be more sharper if I was playing more. And, you know, I'm looking forward to trying to do that.
No, I played actually, you remind me, I played a scramble about a month and a half ago at this course I hadn't played before. I got a call the day before. My buddy, someone dropped out of his group, and he needed a fill-in. And I was like, "Fuck yeah!" Like, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
We go out. We shot like 15 under, and we got third. We lost the winning team was 18 under.
That's still solid, though.
Fucking So we had.
I've been following. I see your like posts of like the different courses you got going on your Instagram and shit, dude. Just so fire. I just want to come out and check out a course so bad.
You have to. You have to get out here.
I really might, dude. I'm gonna. I'm definitely gonna think about it this winter.
Yeah, come out, dude. Come out. Do like a 5-day fucking thing. We'll golf like 3 different courses. It'd be fucking blessed.
I'd love to do it.
All right.
What's good?
Bryson, local kid out here. Fresno's only like, you know, he grew up in Fresno, like 2.5 hours up the street. So he's kind of a local kid.
Yep. I know you're fired up on him winning the U.S. Open, right?
Bryson won that shit.
Yeah.
I'm fired up about what?
Fired up about him winning the Open, right?
Yeah, I mean, that was cool. I don't know. I don't love Bryson. I'm not going to root against him, though.
Yeah.
Like, but what do you think about the Masters coming up?
Good question, dude. First of all, I think it's going to be extremely interesting, the Masters being played in November. Course conditions, just in terms of how the tournaments have been going, in terms of like the daylight and everything, in terms of getting in the players. I think that'll impact it for sure, but I'm pumped to see it. Having it in November is definitely going to be weird. You know, I'm always rooting for my man Tiger. I like Rory as well. I'm telling you though, Bryson's going to be tough to beat if he's playing like he has been playing, because he hits it long, and if his short game's good, he's tough to beat, dude. And the Masters is a course that he can do that on all day. I wouldn't be surprised to see him up there at the top of that leaderboard as well.
Yeah.
Major golf tournament. You've been seeing a lot of the same names up there towards the end of the tournament. Yeah. I'm pumped for it, though, dude. I really am. It's going to definitely be weird having the Masters in November, though, for me.
Yeah, it is weird. Are they doing spectators? Do you know?
They're not. Okay. Yeah, there's no spectators going on in the PGA Tour at all for the remainder of this, at least this calendar season, which they did the obviously flip. And so they're having, I think, maybe some now, like, depending on where it's at. But Augusta National made it clear when they were having the tournament come November time that there was going to be no spectators allowed. So it's going to definitely have a different feel to it, too, obviously, and the tournaments have. But I think the golf has been fire, dude. And there's a lot of good young golfers on tour right now. And
yeah,
they can compete, obviously. All of them can. So then you got the veterans out there as well. So I think anybody can win. I'm pumped to see it. I really am.
Yeah, I'm excited, too.
We'll definitely have to link up before then and talk about it and
try and
see what's going on with everything else in sports by then. Should be pretty fire.
All right, my phone's getting low. You got any? You got a question to send me off with?
Let's see if I got anything to send you off with. I already asked you about the Patriots. So you got the Yankees in the World Series. You like the Lakers. You got the Patriots winning the division still.
Yeah.
So you high on Russell Wilson?
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
You got him. You got him making a run this year. If you had to tell me your top two teams in both division right now, NFC, AFC, give me your top two, and then head out.
Okay. NFC, Seahawks. And Packers.
Yep. All right.
And then AFC is Chiefs, obviously. And, I mean, I guess I don't know where to go after that. Want to say, like, I still like the Ravens.
Yep.
I still like the Ravens.
I think the Ravens are a great team. But I think Lamar struggles in big-time games. I think they have a problem in big-time games. And until they show me otherwise, I'm not going to expect them to win any big-time games. So,
yeah, that's fair.
Obviously, the Chiefs are above them. I would honestly have the Bills in there right now, up there as the second-best team in the AFC, honestly. And until they start losing games and prove me otherwise, I got the Bills winning the division, dude. And I like Josh Allen. I like the defense on the side of the Bills. I'm the biggest Bills fan around, bro. You have no idea. And let me just also tell you, I think it'll be interesting. There's a couple other teams on the back end of the AFC, including the Browns, with the Steelers being good as well, still undefeated. There's a lot of good competitive teams in the AFC besides the Ravens. It'll be interesting to see how it shakes out. All right, good time, bro. I'm glad I got to see you and catch up. You stay well. Always. Stay safe. We'll try and link up soon. Much love, dude.
Love you, brother.
Peace, Raj.
Adios.
Love him. My dude, Raj. All right, let me try and take this break. I do want to try and get in the sports read. Maybe get a little solo action in on the way out. We'll be right back in the Seggy Station. Hey, what's going on, everybody? The Seggy Station is brought to you by Callie's Love. A man's best friend is his dog. Shout out to Rescue Mutt to many, but a life-saving companion to me. To me, nothing promotes true home happiness in a household, but I love a companion of a pet. Especially at a time like this, get yourself a little pet friend like mine at your local animal shelter, Pounder Nursery. Save their life and they're just my saviors. Now it's time for your Sports Center update. Talked about it a little bit with Rich. Doc Rivers parted ways with the LA Clippers. He, in his 356-208 record in seven seasons, has moved on and has now agreed to coach the Philadelphia 76ers. Jordan Reed could miss 6 to 8 weeks for the 49ers. George Kittle came back and was pretty fire for them, as they're now 2-2. The Bears, now 3-1. Named Nick Foles are started moving forward. Mitch Trubisky, been pretty tough for him. We'll see how it shakes out for the Bears. I don't think it's going to shake out well. Serena Williams, she had to withdraw from the second round of the French Open because of an Achilles injury after winning her first match. Her quest for 24 singles majors titles will have to wait until 2021. The NFL informs teams today that free agency workouts and players acquired via trade, waivers, etc. must have 6 consecutive days of negative COVID tests before entering the club facility. In that case, if a team wants to add any player to their roster, it's almost going to take them at least a week to get them in. Sergio Garcia wins the Sanderson Farms Championship. It's Sergio's first win since the 2017 Masters, 11th career PGA Tour victory for Sergio Garcia. Shout out, Serge. Got his autograph right up there on the wall. Signed ball back when I was working at the Travelers. Much love to my dude, Serge. Did talk about this earlier. Study finds that 19% of fans don't think that this year's NBA championship is valid. Stupid poll, I guess. Skip Bayless probably made it up. Delonte West has checked into a rehab facility in Florida. Mark Cuban helped him reunite with his mother in Dallas before he was checked into that facility. Prosecutors have dismissed the 2 misdemeanor charges of soliciting a prostitute brought against Pat's owner, Robert Kraft. No surprise. If you haven't heard, President Trump tested positive for the virus. He wasn't calling it the China virus then. Be safe, people. Wash your hands. Virus is real. Here's an MLB update for you. 8 teams left. Divisional series. Braves 9. Marlins 5. Braves lead 1-0 in the series. Padres lose last night 5-1 to the Dodgers. Dodgers 1-0 in that series. Astros 5-2 over the Athletics. Stroh lead the series 2-0. And the Yankees lose a game last night 7-5. Series tied 1-1 up against the Rays. Tigers, AJ Hinch, Alex Cora are being considered for their open managerial position. Alvin Gentry is a, quote, serious possibility of joining Doc Rivers' staff with the Sixers. Talked about Cam Newton a bit, testing positive for the virus. Also mentioned Stephon Gilmore testing positive for the virus. Pats canceled practice today, Wednesday. Not looking good for their game this weekend. Also, Tennessee Titans announcing 2 more positive tests, up to 22 players in total. Not looking good for their game this Sunday as well up against the Bills. Seattle Storm sweep the 2020 WNBA Finals. They are WNBA champions for the 4th time in franchise history. Sue Bird, 4-time NBA champion. Breonna Stewart was named Finals MVP. Tuning back in, Nick Seglin here. You're listening to Seggy Station Podcast. Appreciate all the love and support. Glad I got to link up with a couple of the rich bros today, Rich Hot Takes Letty and my dude Raj out of Monterey, California, a little east to west coast exchange. Much love to him coming on, catching up a little bit. Always tough having to talk to him about what's going on with the Giants, but we always got to get it in. I'm glad we did. Much love to those boys. Much love to everybody that listens and follows the podcast. You can always check it out on my Twitch stream. It's _Seggy_G. You can also follow along and check out what we're talking about on my podcast on my Instagram page at Seggy Station. Going to get into some solo after I take my quick break, and I'll get on out of here for the rest of the day. Got to try and close it out with a couple final takes, solo takes. see how those go. I cover the Giants a little bit. It's been really tough with them, kind of depressing. Wish they could have won at least one game so we'd be in a little bit more of a hunt in a awful division. I did see Stephen A. talk about how the NFC East and how they're able to represent a home game in the playoffs is blasphemy, and I completely agree. When it's that bad every single year, all the time, nothing's changed, and not only for my team, but the other teams in the NFC East as well, I don't think it's going to get any better. And with the benching of Dwayne Haskins and now what we've seen out of the Dallas Cowboys and their defense, they're not good at all. I think the Eagles are struggling in terms of loss of players, in terms of injury and what they got going on with their quarterback situation and no wide receivers. It's going to be all up in the air. If the Giants could have won one game, we'd be in it, in my opinion. And we haven't. And in my opinion, it's Daniel's fault. It's 100% Daniel's fault. He's blown at least two games that we could have won because of stupid turnovers, stupid mistakes, rookie mistakes that I haven't seen him progress on. And that absolutely worries me. I think even with the offensive line being decimated, not blocking well, and not providing him enough time to throw accurate balls, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. He's got to make better decisions. He's got to throw it away. He's got to go down. He's got to not fumble the ball. Something. He continues to turn the ball over. And that loses NFL football games regularly, pretty regularly. Here we are 0-4. And you look at the Dallas Cowboys. And everyone, they should be 0-4, but the games that they, all their fans are going to say, oh, we should have won. Well, you turn the ball over three times in those games. In all those games that Dak has unbelievable yardages and touchdowns, you're down by 24 points before halftime. So no shit he's going to have that if you're trying to come back. It's inflated numbers. Your team isn't really good. Your defense sucks. And if you're the Eagles, you're not much better because you win a game in which, by the way, Nick Mullins, who actually toasted the Giants, gets benched for CJ Beathard. You win that game by 5. Big whoop. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if the Giants win the game this week up against the Cowboys. I probably jinxed them. We've notoriously played well in Jerry World. And with how the Dallas Cowboys are on defense, if Daniel can do anything on the offensive side of the ball, get any time to throw the ball, who knows? Maybe he can win a shootout. We've seen it before. I think all the teams in the NFC East are vulnerable. I think it's absolutely up in the air who wins the division. And whoever wins the division is going to have a record way below 9 wins. I think you're looking at a 7-win team representing the NFC East. With that being going on in COVID, I don't know what's going to happen with the NFL season, postponement of games. It could be all up in the air for this division, and you're looking at it face front right now. Big shout out to my boy Chew. Do want to get into Tom Brady, but Chew, you're starting a guy named, what's his name, Brett Rippin? Ripon? I don't know his name, but you won the game up against the Jets. Starting Brett Ripon with Blake Bortles that you signed on a 1-year. After Jeff Driscoll got hurt and Drew Locke got hurt for 6 weeks or whatever it was. Interesting strategy there by Vic Fangio. They win a game, but of course against the Jets. And the Jets, obviously 0-4, not firing Adam Gase. Expected to keep him the remainder of the season. Absolutely a weird and utterly crazy decision on my end, but for the Jets' sake, I guess they're going to ride him out and see how they do this season, and that's not looking like it's going to go too well. I did want to touch on Tom Brady quickly. Before I do that, I do got to plug Pat Mahomes, which, by the way, the Chiefs are 4-0, four straight seasons of 4-0, first time ever a franchise has ever done that. Pat Mahomes, 10,000 yards, fastest player to do that, took him just 34 games to do that. Pat Mahomes in the month of September in his career, is 10-0 with 32 passing touchdowns and 0 interceptions. Awkward transition to now leading Tom Brady, who obviously everyone calls the GOAT. I think Pat Mahomes may be taking that from him at some point in time down the line. That's another conversation to be had. The conversation to be had right now is Tom Brady. And everyone hyping up Tom Brady. He has 5 touchdowns. They get a comeback win up against a rookie quarterback starting his third game. 38-31 up against the LA Chargers, decimated on defense. They were down by 14. Tom Brady had a pick six in the game. He has four pick sixes in his last six games. Tom Brady has five touchdowns to save the day, and they win the game to save the day. The Bucs are 3-1. Everyone's happy. They think they're going to flow the division and make it to the NFC Championship game, represent the NFC in the Super Bowl, and potentially win a Super Bowl. Hold your horses. Hold your damn horses on Tom Brady. Nice. He had a good game. Nice. The dude can still hum it when you got a good amount of weapons. He's got plenty. But he just lost one in O.J. Howard. Ruptured Achilles, done for the year. Mike Evans in out of the lineup. Chris Godwin out of the lineup this year. Injuries, everything going on with the NFL in terms of COVID. Sustainability in terms of players in the lineup has been an issue. And I think the sustainability for the Bucs in terms of team success on the offense side of the ball could be a problem even with all the weapons because of Tom Brady. Yeah, he has five touchdowns. Yeah, he had one good game, but he's had a couple of really bad games this year. They squeak out one win and another. They're 3-1. Okay, sounds good. I think the schedule gets tougher. I think Tom Brady may have a chance to compete at the end of the season for this division, but I still don't have them winning the division. And they might make the playoffs, but I don't have them competing in the playoffs. I don't think that Tampa Bay Bucks are a team that could be considered with the Seattle Seahawks, with the Green Bay Packers, teams that Raj and Rich talked about, with the Rams even, a team that's shown that they can compete in big-time games in the playoffs. And you're going to have some other teams in the NFC, including in that division as well. And the Saints and the Panthers at 2-2. The Falcons obviously are at 0-4, but they're no scrub team. And even though they're losing games, the Falcons can easily win a shootout game against the Tampa Bay Bucks, and they play them twice. So we'll see how it shakes out for the Tampa Bay Bucks and the rest of their season. But obviously all their fans and all those Tom Brady fans on their high horse right now with his big five touchdowns, 3-1 record, but we'll see where it goes from here. Let's see. Did I have anything else that I had to get in today before I shut this down and be like, oh, damn, I forgot what I had to get in? Probably not. Probably not. So I guess I'll get out of here on my final takes and cue up my music. Because it's been pretty tough. You know, last week for me, lost one of my best friends and my neighbor, Dave, passing away. And I've been working so much, I haven't even really been able to think about it. I haven't even been able to do my pod. I have been trying to get some notes and stuff together. The organization of pod has been pretty shitty, and that's been bothering me too. Haven't had much free time. Pod's been taking a back burner, been working a ton. Job's been crazy, and COVID's been crazy, and it's been impacting sports. And sports have been absolutely out of control. I mean, you got everything under the sun going on in sports, from NFL games to NBA finals, and the NBA season about to be over, and that's kind of depressing. WNBA championship crown, Stanley Cup final championship crown. Tampa Bay Lightning, shout out Rich, called it out on the pod, forgot to mention that while I was here. You know, you got the MLB postseason, just eight teams left. Those games going by, five-game series in the DS, seven-game once you get to the championship series. Baseball will be done in just about 3 weeks. So you got all this stuff going on now, but pretty soon it's going to be back to not having much in sports again, with the NFL trying to get through a season during the midst of a global pandemic. I think the NFL is going to run into some serious problems, man. I'm genuinely worried about how some of the people out here are reacting to how things are going with this virus. Like, people are just acting like, oh, word, like it wasn't around for a little bit. Like, it's straight. Nah, it's not straight. It's popping up everywhere, all over the place, spiking everywhere, all over the country, sports, everywhere. Schools, people going back to school, colleges, college universities trying to play college football. You know, I didn't even talk about that today. Y'all know how I feel about that. I mean, it is absolutely crazy. And I guess, apparently, with allowing fans at these college games, apparently they think only COVID travels horizontally or vertically the way they have some of these people set up. It is remarkable the fact that they have that many fans at a stadium with everything going on. I saw my own college with the fan section absolutely packed when I was watching a game the other night on TV. Absolutely and utterly insane. Like, there's a virus that is global, pandemic, going on, spreading still across this country with no vaccine. And people just want to act like it's not even a big deal because you can kind of get it and potentially get over it like the president says. That is absolute bullshit. There are people dying from this. This is going to kill more people. A lot more people come this fall. There's not going to be a vaccine for this thing. Flu season's kicking up. It's going to be hella cold soon. And I'm telling you right now, that's going to impact what's going on with this virus. It's going to impact our lives greatly again. It's going to impact sports again. And I just pray for the NFL to get it right and get it done. And I'm just not so sure they will. I'm genuinely worried about the NFL season. We'll see how it goes. We'll see if any of my guys on my fantasy team, fantasy reality, whatever you want to call it, are out because of COVID. Either way, when you're out because of COVID, it's kind of shitty. In your NFL, you're putting these players, these people, college students, students in general, in positions to have to make these decisions if they're going to cop this virus or not because you want them to be there for money purposes. It's kind of ridiculous. It really is. And I can reel that back to my own job, my own damn job, where it's like, damn, bro, can't you think about, like, what the hell my safety kind of feels like when you got this shit going on here? People everywhere on the patio, big tournament, blah, 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 like, no mask, nothing, two people in a cart. It's stupid. And it's like, are people that ignorant to the situation you can't even just follow the protocols where there's a fucking damn sign on the door? Like, wear a fucking mask? Like, I really don't get it. Is it a political thing? Nah, it should be a political thing. We're trying to save lives here. We're trying to stop a global pandemic from spreading. It's not too hard. It's affecting sports, man. And as much as sports are popping right now, you know, 4 months ago, the furlough, no sports were going on. We might be looking at it again pretty time soon, pretty damn soon. And that is not something I want to hear. So I don't know what I would do about sports. Sports have been fire. See how the Lakers, see if they can close out the NBA Finals, see what's going to go on with the Week 5 of the NFL schedule, see what's going to go on with some of those games, and the rest of the stuff for the MLB Divisional Series. Hopefully some of those are wrapped up by next week. Hopefully I can get back on here, link up with a couple of the boys. Till then, stay safe, wash your hands, wear your mask. That's all I had for the airwaves today. Appreciate all listening, as always. And as always, it's still no shame what I had to say. It's the man with a nickname. Till next time, everybody, peace and love. Stay safe out there. You're listening to Seggy Station.